The following podcast is part of the Underdog Sports Podcast Network. For advertising information or to find more great podcasts, visit us at www.theunderdogsports.com and follow us on Twitter at @RealTheUnderdog.
Yeah, welcome to another episode of the Functional Sportsaholic, as we like to call it, the Sports Talk Revolution. We are proud partners of the Underdog Sports Podcasting Network, and you can also find us on Podcast One. As usual, you are listening to Sean Ryan and Sam Van Dam. Sam, what's going on, buddy?
What up, man? Just trying to get through this work week, brother.
Yeah, I hear you. This is my last work week. I'm going independent. I am now an independent consultant. Well, I guess not now, but effective, I guess, on Monday. So I'm looking forward to that, but enough of that. We're going to talk. Basically, we'll just be talking about the first round of the NFL draft. We're recording this on Friday this week, so the first round is in the books. A little bit of NBA after that. But before we get rolling, Sam, another little Netflix recommendation for you. I haven't watched it all the way through yet. I've started it, but it's The Dirt. It's the Motley Crue story on Netflix.
Oh, yeah, I do want to watch that.
Yeah, man, it's good so far. I like the way that the movie is, like, stylized, let's say. And
right.
Yeah, man, it's going pretty good. But my wife wasn't super into it, and it's hard to watch that movie with kids around. So
yeah,
so that's why I haven't gotten all the way through it. But I'm hoping to do it this weekend. So
yeah, my only beef with that is I hate Machine Gun Kelly, and he's who plays my favorite Motley Crue person. That's Tommy Lee. So I'll have to get over that in order to watch it.
Yeah, well, it's pretty good. I don't have any negative stuff.
Do you know who Machine Gun? Okay, he's a white rapper.
Oh boy.
And that's who plays Tommy Lee. And he's the one that went at Eminem like this year, and Eminem killed him.
Yeah, of course.
Basically. So yeah, he's a cornball. But other than that, I have heard that it's good.
Very good. All right, man. So I want to talk about NFL draft. The first round last night, I watch it every year. This year, I really wasn't, ever since I started doing the almanac and, doing all this daily fantasy stuff, I just care a little bit less about it. I used to, Sam, as you know, I mean, I used to like read all of the coverage from like, year round, but basically I'd just be craving the way too early mock drafts from like Kuiper and McShay and all that. And I would start, basically the day after the draft is over, I would start preparing for the draft the next time, and I would predict where everybody was going to go and all that stuff. Well, like as years have gone on, I've realized that it's less important where the prospects go and more important about like what the fit is for the prospects themselves. So it's almost like, all of the pre-draft coverage by like Kuiper and McShay doesn't matter. When it comes down to like how are they going to help a team, these draft grades, nobody knows, nobody cares. I shouldn't say nobody cares. A lot of people care, but I don't. Predicting fantasy value coming off of the drafts is it has nothing to do with the draft analysis. It has more about the player's skill set versus the player's system that they're going to be in. So this year I really haven't paid a lot of attention to the hype before the draft. I've read a couple of mock drafts. I knew who the prospects are. I knew who they are from watching college football and all that, but just haven't really been into the draft prediction stuff this year. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I've never, I'm not a huge NFL guy. I will keep my eye on things, but I feel like, and I'm going to ask you this question because I kind of had this, in my mind. I feel like the NFL draft over like any other draft is kind of like the biggest crapshoot of like how's it all going to work out.
Well, I would, I guess I would argue that the Major League Baseball one is worse because there are so many more rounds, and you get the minor leagues and you get so many like first rounders that never see the light of day. But the NFL is a crapshoot.
They don't hype that up. I swear like ESPN and everything, they hype up this draft. Like it's like, that they're going to, you're finding all these, all world players. Like, the NBA does it too, but I feel like.
Yeah,
I think it's ESPN over everything. Although I feel like the coverage hasn't been as crazy as it has been in the past, probably just because we're in this 24/7 news cycle where things are just, how many times can you talk about Kyler Murray, like where he's going to go? There's only so many places that was going to happen. you know, so.
Yeah, and that's why, that's another reason I didn't really want to bring that on the show is like that. I mean, how many weeks in a row are we going to talk about Kyler Murray going to Arizona, right, which was, I think, obvious for a couple months. And we'll talk a little bit about that now, but, you know, what's the point in talking about that last month? You know, I don't know. But, yeah, in terms of crapshoot, I think they say that basically NFL first rounders have like a 50% hit rate, like in terms of being a quality starter. Just, you know, second rounders have like maybe like a 30 or 40%, and it goes down from there. So it's really, you know, the whole draft, it's funny to me, right? It doesn't take a rocket scientist to be able to be competitive in the NFL. It just takes some discipline. And the Patriots and the Ravens have been relevant for so long because one of the things that they do is they keep their picks, they accumulate more picks, and then on top of that, they accumulate compensatory picks after the free agency process. So they don't break their bank with free agents. They take a lot of bets in the draft, and, you know, I don't know, you know, I haven't done the research in terms of, like, are their hit rates that much better than their competition? I don't know about that, but I know that they have a lot more picks, so they're going to have a lot more players that they drafted be stars. I don't know about the percentages, but I can tell you I can remember a few first-rounders from the Patriots that whiff, and they drafted a first-rounder last night, a wide receiver. You know, they've drafted a lot of receivers early that have whiffed. They've drafted a lot of cornerbacks early that have whiffed. So the Patriots miss, just like every other team misses, but they always have a lot of picks. Whereas you take a team like Washington, who drafted a quarterback, we'll get into that later. Washington ended up trading up to get an edge rusher last night, and and got rid of a second round pick this year and next year to move up and draft a linebacker. Who, you know, they think they're going to help the team, but, you know, it's just one of those teams. The Redskins have not been consistently relevant, and a big reason to that is because they consistently don't preserve draft picks. You know, you need to have the young, most importantly, cheap talent that you can groom, and then you extend who's good. But anyway, before we kind of get rolling and other stuff, I want to kind of talk about the New York Giants finally drafted a quarterback. I said they should have done it last year. They drafted a quarterback with their first round pick, Daniel Jones, out of Duke. And he's a guy that is basically like, you know, he came in through the Manning camps. Eli and him already have a pretty good relationship through those camps. And I saw a lot of, you know, Giants publicity out today saying, you know, they blew it because they passed on Haskins. But again, you know, I'm just going to take you back to that point. First of all, it's good that the Giants drafted a quarterback because Eli Manning, even today, isn't that good. They need a quarterback anyway. They need somebody who can take over the future. They're in a position where they can have this guy, you know, groomed over 1 to 2 years, which is a big deal. And they have a guy that obviously the offensive system, Shermer and the coaches over there think fits a little bit better within the system. So, like, everybody coming out saying he should have drafted Haskins. I look at Haskins and I see a guy who started one season for Ohio State, who has supreme talent. You know, 14-1 or 13-1, what does that mean in college football when you're playing for Ohio State? Right? He's a spread quarterback. I don't get it. So I see like all these Giants fans like jumping down the necks. Maybe they could have traded back a couple slots and still got him, or maybe they could have got him with their other first round pick or something, but they wanted him and they didn't want to lose him. So period, that's it. They got who they think is their quarterback of the future. So what the, you know, what's the criticism there, you know?
Yeah, I don't get it. And, you know, everyone is a, you know, armchair quarterback when it comes to these things. You know, you don't know. And, you know, I'm not sold on Haskins. I've read some stuff and I've looked at some stuff. And, you know, from what I heard, the kid up until, you know, the last couple months of the year was super lazy. He's, you know, just he's usually has been out of shape coming into, you know, like the spring game and going into the season. And people are worried that now that, you know, he's got some guaranteed money and he's got some stuff that, you know, he might go all Jamarcus Russell and just really not give a crap. So you just don't know, you know, how all this is going to shake out. Because, Chris, you know, whatever, Daniel Jones could come in and, you know, and be the next guy and people are going to be like, well, that was a great pick by the Giants. You don't know with these things, man.
Yeah, and
they needed a quarterback, and I feel like it's the best, you know, it's the best thing that they could do.
I saw, you know, some social media stuff, and I just didn't feel like jumping in today. I got some other stuff going on. But, you know, the people are like, oh, this is stupid, should have drafted Haskins. All these people, and this is my same argument with fantasy football, like all these people think they're experts because they read stuff from other people they think are experts. right? Like, if Todd McShay were so good, he'd be running an NFL team. Let's be real about that, right?
Kiper
has never sniffed a GM job. If he was so good, he'd be running an NFL team. They're not that good, okay? I mean, they're dialed in. They're better than me, so don't get me wrong. I mean, they're better at me at scouting this stuff. Let's say they devote more time to it, so they're better than me.
Well, yeah, because they can. That's their job.
Yeah, it's their job. You know? Right. And so, you know, these guys that come out, you know, these what I would call meatballs, they come out and these homers are like, oh, you know, it's got to be Haskins. It's like, what? Why does it have to be Haskins? Shermer runs basically a West Coast principled offense that is predicated on good footwork, and he wants somebody with a good work ethic. They have basically drafted a quarterback, again, into a situation where this guy who's already, you know, a four-year starter, well, I don't know if he's a four-year starter, but he played at Duke. And Duke in football is a tough job, you know, being a quarterback at Duke, right? You have to basically work hard to get your team anywhere. So I'm always, when I'm looking at NFL draft and especially quarterbacks, there's a lot more correlation with small school or non-power school quarterback making it in the NFL. Like Aaron Rodgers at Cal, that's not a power school. It was when he was there, but, you know, it wasn't a power school. There's a Tom Brady, Michigan, but he wasn't even a freaking quarterback there for a long time. He had to fight. He was a bench guy behind Chad Henne for a long time.
Ben Roethlisberger.
Ohio. You got Drew Brees from Purdue. I'm trying to think. I'm rattling off the top of my head.
The guy that was at the Ravens for a long time. What's his face?
Flacco, Delaware.
Flacco, yeah.
You got Mahomes, Texas Tech. You have running down the list. Eli Manning, Ole Miss. You know, and that's the point. You know, Tony Romo is that Eastern Illinois. Kurt Warner bagging groceries. Think about it. I mean, everybody, and we go through this every year. The Carson Palmers, the long-term starter for Power Football School, there's a lot fewer of those. And by the way, Carson Palmer's not a Hall of Famer. There's a lot fewer of those than there are,
guys,
you know,
that came up.
Brett Favre from
mid-major, Southern Miss.
Vanderbilt or whatever he was. Southern Miss. I was thinking Jay Cutler for a second, Vanderbilt. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot more of those. So like everybody's like, oh, it's got to be he's a power school quarterback, and he runs a spread. When has an Urban Meyer quarterback really succeeded? You know, Tebow is the other one that everybody was going
crazy for. Alex Smith is the only one that's done something, and that was at Utah.
You know, and people harp on Alex Smith all the time, right?
Right.
So, you know, everybody's got to get off this stuff. Like I said, I didn't get into it, but, you know, I understand. Like, I saw that and I thought, you know, that was something that wasn't rumored. People were saying he was going to be drafted lower, but it makes perfect sense. And the reason I think it makes perfect sense here is that he's going to be in a situation, this guy Jones, where probably Manning is going to be the starter for the next 2 years. And he's just going to sit back and learn. And when teams can have that luxury to put a quarterback like that, you know, on the bench, on the pine for a long time and not feel pressured to start the rookie, you know, if they can keep him on the bench and keep the pressure out, it's only going to do good things. Like, the Giants are going to be happy about this pick in a couple years. Giants fans, I should say.
I fully believe it, man.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's enough of that. So actually, we've been talking about, well, before, because I do want to talk about, was it Haskins or whatever, but. Before, did you see the thing about there's a promotion where I guess you enter some contest and Travis Kelce might be one of your groomsmen in your wedding party?
I saw that because you sent me a text, but
yeah, basically I said there's basically 100% chance that Travis Kelce is gonna fuck some guys some guy's fiance before the wedding. Like, what is this? Like, I don't. It's such a weird thing. I can understand if you're a Chiefs fan, but it, like, let's say you're like a Seahawks fan. Do you really want Travis Kelce showing up to your wedding?
What's the upside there? There's a lot of clowns out there in the world, man. I think that they probably would like that. There's a lot of people that would love that. You know, like Gooch. Gooch would love that. You know, like just for the sheer, you know,
oddity of it.
Yeah, just for the, like, you know, so he can take a bunch of pictures of the guy. There's a lot of people like that, man. Like,
yeah, I guess, but I just don't.
A lot of cornballs.
Yeah, maybe I'm in the minority. I've never been like that. You know, I've never been like, oh my gosh, a famous person.
Yeah,
just
you're not
around somebody who's famous.
I'm not either. I'm not really. It doesn't do anything for me. So, I've been in cool situations that I think it's cool, but like, they're another person. They're really. there's very few people I think in this world that I would like get geeked out to spend any amount of time with.
So I want to keep track of the story because I would say there's better than a 50% chance, maybe even a 75% chance where, you know, people like husbands to be are going to be entering this contest without their fiance knowing. And so I think there's a really good chance that the person who wins this, the wife to be, the bride to be, has no idea that this could be happening. So I really want to monitor the situation. Anyway. All right, it's time for my favorite sponsor. This show is sponsored by SeatGeek. The ticket industry hasn't changed in a long time. There are a bunch of big companies who have been around forever but don't really care about making the experience easier for the consumer, and I can't tell you how many times I've been screwed by other ticket companies. That's why I love SeatGeek. SeatGeek is a ticket company where the customer comes first. With more than 50,000 five-star reviews in the App Store, SeatGeek is focused on making your experience as easy as possible. SeatGeek pulls in millions of tickets from all over the web, rates each deal on a scale of 1 to 10, and displays them on interactive seat map. So it's simple to find out what you're looking for. Green dots are good deals, red dots are bad deals. It's not that complicated. It's so easy to use. I love them. I love them. I cannot say this enough. I have SeatGeek on my phone. You should have it on yours. Best of all, everybody, my listeners get $10 off your first SeatGeek purchase. This is free money sitting out there for you. Just use promo code SPORTSAHOLIC, just like the show. It's SPORTSAHOLIC for $10 off on your first purchase. You can use that for concert tickets, sports, comedy, whatever there's a ticket for, you can use it. Remember, it's promo code SPORTSAHOLIC for $10 off your first purchase. Free money. Take it. I did, and I loved it. Rev up your engines. Adam Carolla is teaming up with Podcast One to bring you Going Racing, your new favorite high-speed racing podcast. Get ready, set, and go. Download new episodes of Going every week on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One. All right, so let's move it back. So
you want to talk Kyler Murray?
Oh, yeah, well, let's talk a little bit about him. I've been saying, so the Almanac, you know, I did my preliminary research. I didn't work on it this week at all. I was actually hoping to have it out like next week, but I've been busy. So I'll probably work a lot more on it next week. But yeah, I did the research. I looked at Kingsbury's system at Texas Tech. I looked at Kyler Murray versus what Mahomes did when Kingsbury was in the system. I get it. I think this is a fit, and I think this is just like I think Daniel Jones is a fit for Shermer. I think Murray is a great fit for Arizona. And I think that, big if here, because I lived through the RG3 years in Washington. If Murray can stay healthy, right? If he can keep himself out of harm's way and stay healthy, I think he could be a really dynamic fantasy and daily fantasy quarterback this year. I'm probably going to have him higher on my projection list than a lot of the other draft agencies will have. And it's because, I've run numbers, the system, I've computed the numbers, and I think there's a lot of opportunity coming to him in this offense. It's all about health to me. And then Rosen, it's kind of interesting because, like, Haskins falling to Washington and the Giants taking a quarterback nobody thought that they would take takes two teams out of the running there. I thought those were two really good landing spots, and I thought Rosen would have been the perfect landing spot for New York, but they got their guy, and that's fine. So now I'm thinking Rosen is going to end up on a team like the Chargers, where he can sit for a couple of years, or like the Patriots. If I were the Patriots, I'd be all over Rosen at this point, just to have him on the, because Rosen, everybody always says, one of the things about him is he wants to know and understand why everything's happening. That's part of his process to learn. And so Rosen's always going to be, he's always going to have friction with, ego-driven coordinators that just say, well, just do what I tell you, instead of like a teacher. And so, like, Rosen with like a McVay, I think would be great. Rosen with a Josh McDaniels, I think would be great. Rosen with, I don't know. Maybe even a Bruce Arians. I think that would be okay. Well, actually, that one probably wouldn't be such a great fit. But I think Rosen's going to end up on a team with an established quarterback, and I think he's going to be a future Pro Bowler because I think he's going to be in a good situation where he can sit back and learn. What do you think?
No, I agree with everything that you say about Rosen. And I know him and Kyler Murray are boys, so that'll be. I mean, that's kind of interesting to see that all play out. I'm going to preface this by saying with Kyler Murray, I hope that I'm wrong. I wish nothing well with the for the kid, but I'm smelling bust, baby.
Are you?
Yeah. Just built on hype. Like, I'm smelling bust for him and Kingsbury, and I like both of them, and I hope that they do well, and I hope I'm wrong. Kind of like how I was with Trae Young this year. I said Trae Young's going to be a bust, and he ended up having a really good rookie year. So I hope that I eat shit by saying this, but I don't know, man. First-year NFL coach, first-year NFL quarterback. I'm really big on guys sitting for a while. I think it helps, but I don't think they're going to do that here. They're going to throw him right into the fire. And, you know, that has advantages, but I think it has more disadvantages than it does advantages. Especially in, like, the, you know, what have you done for me lately? Like, you know, nobody's waiting on people. So, like, if you're not churning stuff out in, like, a year and a half, they're moving on from you. You know, like Josh Rosen. I mean, Josh Rosen is not his fault, and they're ready to give up on him. You know, it's crazy to me. I don't get it.
It's funny. Brad and I were talking with Rosen. Brad and I were talking about Jared Goff and Josh Rosen, and we were just running through our 2018 review. So we were talking about NFC West, and then I started getting into Josh Rosen about how his numbers were egregious last year. And then I looked at Goff's numbers because I knew his numbers were bad, but I didn't realize how bad. Goff's numbers were actually about the same, maybe even a little worse than Rosen's numbers were last year.
Right.
And then McVay gets in there and suddenly Goff is a Super Bowl quarterback in 2 years, right? So,
right.
And then going back to Murray, you know, bust, I think there are two definitions of bust now. There is quarterback bust, and then there's fantasy football bust. And more with the way daily fantasy and fantasy football is kind of taken over the intrigue of the sport, I think that fans are having a tough time separating those two things. And a good example, I'll give you three good examples. One is Jameis Winston, who week to week can be an all-star. And so people, you know, fans out there keep saying, like, oh, you know, Winston, he just, you know, just give him the right situation. He's a winner. He's not a winner, man. He throws too many interceptions, but sometimes he'll put up like a 5-touchdown, 2-interception game. And, right. You know, if you bought him in daily fantasy that week, he's your hero and you think you're a good thing. Another two situations. I think that Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson have huge NFL bust potential, like huge potential to not win their team's consistent games. But they score well in fantasy. So I think that Murray, to me, falls into that mold. I don't know if he's going to be a winning quarterback. I do think that he will score well in fantasy because he can make plays with his legs and through the air. If he can stay healthy, I think that he could have a very similar trajectory to RG3, who was a monster his rookie season. Lamar Jackson was actually really good the second half of the season, you know, in terms of fantasy, and he actually won some games, but I don't know that it's sustainable for the NFL. Like, I don't know that the Cardinals are going to be able to, sustain wins. The other argument, the counter argument, devil's advocate here is Mahomes. I felt the same exact way about Mahomes last year. I felt like he would be able to put up good stats, but wasn't sure if he'd be viable in terms of winning games. Well, you know, Mahomes, I think, proved a lot of people wrong last year, myself included. And, you know, Mahomes is an ex-Kingsbury quarterback. You know, Kingsbury likes Murray, yada, yada, yada. So, I mean, there's the path to success there. It's the Mahomes in Kansas City and Kingsbury and Murray and in Arizona that could pan out. So, you know, I don't see good things in terms of sustainable wins for Arizona, but I do see excitement. And so I don't think that the big fantasy football and daily fantasy football players will ever label him as a bust. But I do think that maybe some hardcore Arizona Cardinals fans might.
Yeah, man, what do I know either? You know, I
mean, yeah, of course, right?
I don't know. I don't know dick about this. I just going for that hot take. And like I said, I hope that I'm wrong, you know. But, he's a little guy. And, I mean, that's not everything. But, you know, we've seen little guys put up, you know, big numbers in college and, you know, struggle in the NFL. But then, you know, we do have Russell Wilson and Drew Brees. So, you know, they can make it work. I saw him piss away all that baseball money, and I'm like, you know, but who knows? This might be lucrative for him if he can get some.
Well, if first overall pick, he'll get a nice signing bonus. I think he'll probably get that baseball money back. And then if he flames out, he's still going to have baseball. You know, it's easier to go from football to baseball than the other way around.
Very true.
What else do we have? Just moving things along. Oh, and so I saw the Steelers move up. I texted you about this too when it happened. The Steelers moved up in the draft. You know, basically they extended Roethlisberger. They gave him, I think, 3 extra years, and they think that, that's going to be Roethlisberger's last NFL contract. They think Roethlisberger will play it out, or maybe even not play it out completely. So they're basically all in trying to, you know, keep that Super Bowl window open. So I get it. You move up, you take a linebacker because they can help your team. I think they should have drafted the quarterback. Now, Haskins, I'm going to talk about him in Washington in a bit, but Haskins to me is a perfect fit for Pittsburgh. You draft him. He's a kind of a shotgun drop back quarterback. He can throw from the pocket. He can take hits. He can sit back and learn behind Big Ben for 3 years, come in like Aaron Rodgers did behind, Brett Favre, like Tom Brady did for a season, like Philip Rivers did behind Drew Brees. You have all these.
It's the perfect situation.
It's the perfect situation for him. So I thought, man, that would be great, because how many times do the Pittsburgh Steelers draft that early? The last time they drafted that early, they drafted Roethlisberger.
Right.
Yeah, so,
and then they could just have another big fat, you know, quarterback out there. It's perfect.
But
it
works in Pittsburgh, right? It works.
I know.
That system is perfect for him.
Yeah, and he would get like you said, years, and I can't stress that enough, especially for a quarterback. I think, especially this guy, you know, it's not like he's a 4-year starter. Like, let him get some time. He needs some time back there.
Everybody needs time.
Like, he needs time. They need time, man.
Everybody needs time, for sure.
You know, it's crazy. I wish they would give these guys a little bit more of it.
Yeah, everybody gets too impatient. Like Bortles, for example, I can't even remember where he ended up in the free agency. But, you know, Bortles, I thought it would be great for him to go to Pittsburgh and just sit behind, because he's a big quarterback. He needs some refinement in the passing game. But Jacksonville came out and they said that they absolutely 100% would not start Bortles his rookie season, because they knew he was raw and needed some time. What did they do? They threw him into the lineup.
Right.
And, you know, all the pressure, all the criticism that came along with it, he wasn't NFL ready. And they knew that when they drafted him. They came out and they said it when they drafted him, and they still did it. And, you know, these coaches, I get it. I mean, these coaches are trying to save their jobs, and one of the paths to do that is play the young quarterback. That way, when you lose, it doesn't look as bad. But, man, you got to give these guys time. If you invest a year or two into these quarterbacks to let them just sit the bench, get the NFL speed – It pays off.
Yeah, more than any other position in any other sport. Yep. I feel like NFL quarterback, especially a top pick, they need those years. But, you know why they don't make these picks sometimes, because then you got, you know, Roethlisberger getting in his butt about it. And, you know, the same way they do with Brady, you know, he getting his butt about it. You pick a top, you know, one of the bigger quarterbacks on the board, you know, they're fine with you drafting some no name that, you know, in the 4th, 5th round, you know, but,
the egos.
Right. But they got egos, man. But, you know, you got to run a business, and they don't need to play right away, but you got to have something in the lineup, because right now, you know, Pittsburgh has nothing and New England has nothing that they're building towards the future. And I feel like if you want to create that sustainability, you got to do that.
Yep. Moving it to Haskins now. So this made me laugh on a lot of levels. And so I kind of thought about, you know, where was I as a Redskins fan like 10 years ago, when I was really just heavy into the Redskins and not as much about the NFL as a whole. And I probably would have been in front of the TV shouting, jumping up and down, you know, like you're super pumped that Haskins fell all the way to their pick. I think it was 15. And right. And I think Redskins fans should be excited, right? When does that happen in the NFL draft? Mm-hmm. Like, everybody's always moving up into the top 10, overpaying to move up to draft these guys. The Redskins, like, stay where they are, and they end up with the guy that I think they wanted all along, and it was a quarterback, and it never happens. But, you know, then I was watching some pre-draft coverage last night, and I saw that basically Dan Snyder's son went to high school with this guy. I saw that, and I thought, man, there is no way the Redskins are not going to take this guy. And then I also know about, you know, what do I know about the Grudens and Jay Gruden in particular, but also John Gruden? They don't like young quarterbacks. They don't.
Right.
And Gruden wanted a guy, and it was out there, it was rumored, and it this is just true. The Gruden wanted a guy that could help them win now, he does not want to play a young quarterback. And we remember what happened with Kirk Cousins and RG3, and basically Gruden didn't think RG3 was the quarterback, and he went to Cousins because he was the better quarterback, and it was a ballsy decision within that organization. The Redskins wouldn't commit to Cousins because they liked RG3 more. And, you know, Gruden stuck to his guns and they played and, you know, it ended up being the right decision. Well, what's going to happen is this is going to happen again. You know, I know all the draft pundits out there are saying, oh, Haskins is going to start week one. I don't see it that way. Gruden right. is not a quarter. Gruden is stubborn. He's not going to start a guy just because he feels the pressure. He's going to start the guy who he thinks can win. And he's going to mm-hmm. say, if you don't like it, fire me. And I think in this situation, Gruden's out on his keister after this season. Because I think he'll start Keenum. They'll probably do the 7-9, 6-10 thing. You know, the Redskins aren't as bad as advertised. They just get injured all the time. I think their trainers mm-hmm. are bad. They have to be because they keep losing their entire roster. They turn over like half their roster year to year over the last couple of years. I don't know what the deal is. They need stretching. They need some yoga or something.
Because like they got Walrus Man there telling them that stretching is
calisthenics or
calisthenics are not real.
Yeah,
it's fake news.
Fake news. Yeah, stretching's fake news. recovery is fake news. I don't know what's right. going on there. The Redskins locker room. There's like people getting staph infections there and ending careers. Alex Smith got an infection in the hospital. I don't know what's going on there, guys.
They need a clean house, man.
They need a clean house, including the owner. But I saw this and I, kind of the bitter ex-Redskins fan, fanatic, I should say. It just kind of looks at this and I laugh because Haskins is a good prospect. Don't get me wrong. I think Haskins in Pittsburgh, like we just talked about, would be a home run. I think Tampa should have drafted him because I'm not a Winston believer, and I think him in Arian's system would be a home run. He'd be a great quarterback in something like what's the guy's name? I can't remember his name. Frank Reich in Indianapolis. In some systems, he'd be a home run. Gruden is a West Coast quarterback. He likes three-step drops, five-step drops, seven-foot drops. Everything I saw on Haskins is he's a shotgun spread quarterback. He has crummy feet. This is not a match made in heaven. This is a divorce waiting to happen. And so then what's going to happen for Washington? Sorry, Washington fans, but I've been watching and following the franchise very closely for the last, 35 years. This is what's going to happen, and I'm sorry because it's going to happen. They're going to fire Gruden. They're going to bring in a new head coach that they're going to try to shoehorn Haskins in. It's not going to work. They're going to fire that head coach. Haskins will be a bust when he has some talent. And they're going to screw it up because, it's not a patient franchise. It's not a patient franchise. So, and then in the meantime, they traded up. After they drafted their quarterback, they traded up because they had to have an edge rusher. And I don't disagree with the move. I don't disagree with the move. You know, the Redskins have needed an edge rusher for a long time. They got somebody that they think can make a difference, and that's great. And they draft, they moved up. They traded their second this year and a second next year, maybe another negligible pick or something to make that move. But, what do they – it's the Redskins. What do? Now they go into next year without a second-round pick. It's what the Redskins do, man. They just get rid of these high-value, high-odds. Let's call it high-odds pick. These safer picks. I don't like it, man. I don't like it for Washington. I wouldn't mind it for a team like throw a team out there like Los Angeles that already has a strong roster and mm-hmm. They're trying to fortify. New England, because they always have a lot of picks. I wouldn't mind if those teams did it. But Washington doing it. These things just never seem to work out for the franchise. So stop doing it. I don't know what to say. I've been saying it for years. I used to write really nasty blogs back for the owner of the Underdog. He used to have a NFL Draft Blitz was his website. I used to write just nasty blogs, and then Redskins fans would come back to me and say, you're such a jerk. You must be a Cowboys fan, and all that stuff. I'm just like, no, man. I have standards, and the Redskins aren't meeting them. And eventually, I had to break up with them, man.
I know, man. It's been a painful. Painful existence for you being a Redskins fan.
Yeah. Let me look around. Oh, another funny thing is, so I was watching the draft, and so it was in Nashville, and this to me looked like, I don't know, like a conference for Salesforce.com or something more than it looked like an NFL draft. They had like all these booths, just a mass of humanity. It looked like New Year's Eve in New York City. 200,000 people showed up to this thing, and I'm like, why? Why? It was rain. What a miserable experience it seems like. But then they had live music going all night. So when the pick came out on the stage, the live music would start, and apparently it was too loud, and Rich Eisen was just blasting them all night about how loud the music was. And they were playing covers, you know, they would play like Lynyrd Skynyrd covers and stuff.
Yeah.
And Eisen was just a smartass every single time. He's like, I can't hear anything. I can't hear my producer. Like, he was clearly frustrated, but in a lighthearted way.
Right.
And I kept thinking it was funny because it's the NFL is putting this show on. He's really criticizing this band, and he's doing the NFL Network's coverage. But he's Rich Eisen, mm-hmm. so it's, you know, who cares? He's right. going to get away with it. Who cares? And he's Rich Eisen, by the way, also on Podcast One. Good guy. Yeah, I just thought it was funny. And then every year, year after year, they do this, and it always drives me crazy. The Deion Sanders draft pick interviews are always the worst. They're always the worst. They always get this mumbling kid up there that is like super excited and they don't know what to say. And then you get a cross between, you know, guys that are crying and can't get words out. You get like the guys that are excited and just can't answer the question because their mind's going blank because they're just so overcome with emotion. And then you always get the, like, you know, a third of them are always like the super cocky guy or just like, and it's just the worst part of the draft coverage for me. They do it in the NBA too.
Yeah. We don't need that, man.
Like, I would much rather listen to analysis.
I don't know who's sitting around being like, you know what? We need Deion Sanders talking to these guys right when they come off the stage. Or in the NFL, we need Chris Webber talking to these guys as soon as they come off. I mean, NBA. It's, I don't need that, man. I'm a huge fan, and I don't want that. Just show me a bunch of highlights and just keep talking about them until the next pick comes up. Or start guessing what the next pick's going to be.
I wish like, they I did that, yeah.
Like, I don't need to hear from this guy. I don't care.
Yeah. I'm with
especially, you know, especially when usually most people are watching it, like, are a fan of one team. They just care about one player. Like, they don't care about everybody else, but they can go get their local coverage for whatever that is if they want to hear the guy's interview after he's been drafted. I don't need that on ESPN.
Yeah, and by the way, as a fan, I've never cared at all about a player giving his first impressions of being drafted. I've always wanted just to see highlights.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. I want to see highlights and analysis about how he's going to fit into the system and the schemes. I don't care about their emotion. Like, this isn't the Oscars, right? Like, I feel like this is, you know, the NFL has predominantly kind of, you know, meatheads like me and you, Sam, watching these things, and they want to know how it's going to help their team. They don't care about the emotion behind it. This is my opinion. And so, like, the art director or the creative director behind these shows, I don't know what they're doing. Now, I understand the idea of putting Deion Sanders on TV. I think that's a good thing, right? He's a good TV guy. But, you know, devoting a minute to this interview with people who, you know, and I'm not taking a jab at him. I'm just saying the emotion of the moment is so high, they can't articulate what they want to articulate. It's a lot better to get those kinds of things in a press conference from the local team the next day when they can process everything and come down from their emotion. Yeah, and I get it. They want to get the emotion on tape, but you know, give me a break with it. Anyway, so we're kind of moving through. Before we wrap up, I want to talk to you a little bit about the Thunder, Sam.
Oh, choke artist.
I told you, man. Well, I didn't tell you. You and I agreed on this all year, but every year it's like the Tom Brady thing. Like, you know, week one, week two of the NFL season, people are going to come out and say Tom Brady's over the hill. This is the beginning of the end. And then, by the way, the Patriots will be in the Super Bowl that season because that's how it's gone for the last 10 years. Well, every year we see Russell Wilson kill himself in the regular season.
Westbrook.
I always do that. I apologize. It's the Russ W. It always kills me. But Russ Westbrook, he kills himself in the regular season to compile these dumb stats, get his triple-double, and then he gets into the playoffs, and he chucks, and he takes shots away from people, and he never performs in the playoffs. And I don't understand like why people – and I have this argument with a lot of people. It's like, and it's not even an argument. People are just telling me about how great Russell Westbrook is, and I'll say, wake me when he wins something. He's not going to win anything, ever, because he doesn't have the mentality to win. And that's fine. I'm not saying he's not a great player. You and I have talked about before that he might be the most talented player in the NBA, but he's not going to win anything unless, like, he gets old and he just, you know, ends up being like a six man, like an Iguodala on the Warriors, like where he's just kind of running. That's his job, is basically to accumulate stats while the better players rest.
It's a thinking thing that I just don't think he can get over, you know. He's such an alpha male, and he kind of has that Iverson in him that's just not gonna let him like be second fiddle.
Yep.
Even if it's for a game or two, but he's not, you know. he's not proficient enough offensively to take the shots that he takes. He has no business taking some of these. And I feel like a lot of the off-court antics, or even the on-court antics, like with the trash talking and stuff, like really take away from his game. He, in my opinion, is the most athletic player in the NBA. He, skill-wise, could be one of the top 10 players in the NBA, but that mental hurdle, I just don't think he'll ever get over, as far as like doing what's right for the team. Is just not, it's what's right for Russell Westbrook.
Mm-hmm. And he's the reason that Oklahoma City didn't have a dynasty. You know, I know that they moved Harden early, and I always harp on them for moving Harden earlier than I think they should have. I think they should have just gone into luxury tax with that team. But the reason Durant left is because of that. And I think Russell Westbrook honestly should go, if winning is important to him, he needs to go to a sports psychologist and try to figure out how to ease some of that. But he's never going to win anything, and I'm not criticizing him.
I don't think he thinks he has a problem at
exactly.
all.
Exactly, and that's never going to fit change, right?
It's never going to change, because he's never going to look at himself and be like, "What can I do?"
He's going to look at his stat line and that they win 60 games a year or whatever, 55 mm-hmm. or whatever it is. He's going to look at that stat line. And then other people who don't really watch the game or really understand how to build a team, a winning team, they'll look at the stat line and be like, "Oh man, triple double! First guy since Oscar Robertson. He's awesome. He's great. He's the best in the NBA." And I have these discussions too. I'm like, he's not.
No.
Look, like watch the games. How do you? That's to me is like, I don't understand how you can watch and not understand that there's a problem. And a lot of people don't understand it. There are a lot of people listening to this who think we're full of crap right now. That Russell was, he's going to get through over the hump someday. There's no hump to get over. Like, he is the hump. He is his own hurdle, mm-hmm. and that's the problem.
Well, and like KD broke it down like really good the other day. He wasn't talking about Russell Westbrook, but he was talking about his own game. And he was basically like, if I take this shot, I know I can hit about 43% of them. And he like broke it all down. And he's like, but that's not going to help us later in the game. He's like, where we strive is when we have ball movement and we have these things. So he's like, I know I could take this guy off the dribble and probably get a basket 60, 70% of the time. But what's that going to do later in the game? So that's like really thinking it full out. I think Westbrook runs on one speed, mm-hmm. one way the whole time. And yeah, I would hate playing with a guy like that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, he's going to get you some balls. Like, he's going to get you some assists and stuff. I think he does it more to just kind of be like, all right, well, now people can't say I'm ball hogging, mm-hmm. So let me get these assists out of the way, because then people can't say I'm ball hogging. But when it comes down to the end of the game, either he's going to chuck or he's going to dribble until there's like no time left in the thing, and then doesn't want to be the guy that misses the shot. So he'll pass it, which is a terrible position to put somebody else in, So I just think that that's exactly why KD left. I mean, KD stood around and watched him jack up shot mm-hmm. after shot in the playoffs. And like, dude, I'm the MVP.
Yeah.
Like, I should be getting the ball every time. I'm the scoring champ. I should be getting the ball.
How many years, Sam, have I been saying that exact thing to you, right? Outside of this podcast. I mean, it's just defies logic. And I've always said, and this isn't like me, like in hindsight saying this, I have always said that the Thunder should have traded Westbrook, because Westbrook would have brought more back in trade. They could have, if they didn't want to have all three, they should have extended Harden, because Harden is fine, was back at that point being a B player to Durant, deferring. And they would have been a better partnership as a team. They would have kept Durant, and they would have gotten more back for Westbrook. And I said that back in the day. And I don't even know if you always agreed with me on that, but I think you do now for sure.
I've never been a Westbrook fan. Like, I've never, I thought he was, a good young player, but, this crap, like, he's a guy at the gym that, like, I would hate to play with. Because it's like, why am I running down and playing all this defense when every time you're just going to come down and jack up a shot?
Yep.
And I feel like there's a lot of that. There's a lot of people sitting around with their hands on their knees, like basically being like, oh, I'm not even going to get ready to take a shot because I know how this is going to end up, especially in the playoffs.
Yeah. Speaking of jacking up shots, I am not a fan of the shot selection by Damian Lillard. I'm not a fan of that one. Now, you know, it would have driven me nuts, and it worked out, and it was a fantastic shot, great highlight and all that stuff. But I just want to be consistent here. Like I've always been, you should be able to get a better shot than a 70-foot jumper at the buzzer when you have 15 seconds left. He just clears everybody out and then just like puts up a shot. But you know, he was feeling it and he hit it, so it worked out for them. Great. But I would have been pissed.
I'm always in the camp of trying to get to the basket at the end of the game. You know, you're either gonna try to get somebody else open or you're gonna get fouled. Mm-hmm. You know, or you're getting yourself closer to the basket, you know. But hey, he made it and he looks good and everything's great and they didn't have all the pressure on them. So,
yep.
You know, it's a cute series for the Trailblazers, but I don't think they're going to go anywhere else.
Yep, I agree. Right, man, I think we can end it there. Do you got anything else for the fan base there?
Not much. Not much, everyone. Just be good. Be good out there. Watch some playoffs and watch the NFL draft and get after it.
Yep. Pass to your teammates, involve them early in the game.
Pass to your teammates when you're running at the 24-hour fitness or the LA fitness. You know, don't be, you know, no one's out there recording. You know, no one's getting a contract. Just share the ball a little bit.
There you go. All right, everybody out there, be good.
Be good.